Happy Thanksgiving, all. So we wanted to give you an amazing story about an ultra-motivated mother, PhD student, advocate, and 100-mile finisher. We have Nicole White on today, and she is going to walk us through her first 100-miler and also how she balances all of her tasks and her amazing children and family. So enjoy this and have an amazing and safe Thanksgiving, everyone. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Coaches on the Run podcast.
This is Alex.
And Alyssa.
We're both full-time coaches, and we're here to answer your common and not-so-common trail and ultra questions.
Hi, my name's Nicole. I am in Cincinnati, Ohio. I am a mom of four kids. I love running, and I love science and research, and welcome to the Coaches on the Run podcast.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Nicole, for coming on the podcast. I admit that I saw your post on the Trail and Ultra Running Ladies website and texted Alex and went, we have to have her on. This is such a good story. So I quickly went on your Facebook profile and read just your about information, which was mother, runner, PhD student, advocate, and then I have dot, 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 what? So can you dive into that a bit? Because any one of those things would be unbelievable. So how you do all of those, I would love to hear.
How I do all those things, I don't really have an answer. I can't tell you how I do it because my schedule is constantly shifting around. And so I think the one way that I'm able to do it is just I'm able to remain fluid and flexible. And if something like challenging comes up in my schedule, I just know that I just have to pivot, shift, and just reprioritize. So it's a constant like shifting of priorities around in my schedule so that I'm able to do the things that I want to do. And these are, you know, my goals, my passions, and, you know, what I want my life to be remembered of.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I recently, gosh, I hate that I can't think of where I heard this, but I heard a quote that we're all juggling different things and you just have to know which balls are the glass balls and which ones are the plastic balls. And it's okay if you drop a few plastic balls as long as you have your priorities together enough to know which balls are the glass balls.
And so it's I like that. I have not heard that quote before. I like that. But yeah, it's kind of like that.
Horrible. I can't remember where it came from, but it sounds like you have your priorities, you know, in the order that they need to be, and you still manage to get everything in. And that's amazing.
I'm not saying it always works out the way I want it to. Trust me, there's definitely some days where I'm just like, I just wish I could do everything. My mom always said that to me about growing up. People would always ask me what I want to be when I grow up or what I want to do. My mom would just answer for me. She'd be like, she wants to do everything. She just wants to do everything.
Well, it sounds like you made that come true.
I'm still trying. Yep. There's still more I want to do. Absolutely.
So how did you become, well, first of all, what kind of a PhD student are you? How many kids do you have? And then we'll get into the runner and advocate.
Take
that on.
I'm a PhD student in programs for leadership and change management. It's a social science degree out of Antioch University in Yellow Springs, Ohio. It's a very adult learning, non-traditional way of learning, which is probably why I like it, because I don't like being fit into a box or, you know, stereotype for certain things. And then I have four children. My oldest is 16, and then my youngest is 5. And two of them actually have a disability. My oldest has autism, and my youngest has Down syndrome.
Wow. I'm blown away that you can juggle all of that.
I love them all. Yeah, that's the best. I mean, all four of them bring their different qualities to the table. My second oldest loves to run. So far, he's the only one that's taken interest in running. And then my oldest daughter, she loves soccer. And Kate's done a couple of runs with me, little 1-mile kid runs at the local Flying Pig event that we have here. But yeah, I mean, it's just, I love watching them grow up. I mean, I feel really lucky to like see them grow up and become their own person, and yet they're also different from each other.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. How did you get into running? Has it been a lifelong thing for you, or is this a thing you did after becoming a mom?
As funny as it is, I remember watching my dad when we lived in Hawaii. We were as a Navy brat, and he would run from Pearl City to Pearl Harbor. There's like this little bike path that he would take. He either ran it or bike it. I don't even know if it's still there anymore. I know the housing development we lived in is gone now, but and then he signed me up that December for my very first like Jingle Bell 5K that was in downtown Honolulu. And I remember running that, and the only thing I wanted to listen to that whole time was just making sure the bells kept ringing. And so that kind of like got me into running. And so then by the time we got stationed to Southern California, I started just running around the baseball field. And by sixth grade, when they had the cross country team, so I signed up and started running cross country as an official like school sport. And then kind of stuck with it ever since. I did a couple of years in college. I wasn't a super fancy athlete, but I just loved running, so I just kept doing it. And yeah, it's just kind of stayed with me ever since.
That's awesome.
That's phenomenal. And then you also are an advocate. Can you maybe elaborate a little more about that as well?
Yeah, so like being a mom of kids with disabilities, you definitely have to kind of turn on your advocate voice every now and then to just help them to make sure they're getting the things they need to have some sort of equality or access to education in school and participation in community sports. And so I sit on the board for Special Olympics, and right now one of my big advocacy moves is to get more people with disabilities involved in athletics at a younger age. So we're talking like the 8 and under group. So we've done a couple of partnership programs, mixed martial arts. I help with the Pig Abilities race here in Cincinnati when the marathons are happening. I was sad that it got canceled last year, but so that's one of my motives. And one of the ways I try to help advocate is just showing everybody has the ability to do athletics, whether it's running, walking, martial arts, soccer, you know, just get involved and then doing something like helps to improve your self-confidence and setting those goals and just, you know, finding your independence. It gives us something to lean on as individuals. Just like running's done for me. So like when I'm having a bad day, I can always go lean on a run, or, you know, I don't have to talk about it. I can just go pound it on the pavement. So I want people with disabilities to have that same access.
I love that so much. My partner is a special ed teacher, and I didn't really realize until the whole COVID thing happened and he was working for home how much of his job is not teaching per se, but advocating for his students to have just the same treatment. And yeah, it really astonished me and like broke my heart to realize that unfortunately, a lot of the parents of his students, you know, differently abled or not, are not nearly as involved in you as you are, or they're not the advocates for their kids. And so that's kind of his job a lot of times, is just to advocate within the school system to make sure that they're getting what's federally required for them. And yeah, you wouldn't think that it would be a fight, but it is every single day for him. So it's really amazing to hear that there are parents like you that are not just advocating for their own children, but for everyone's children. So that's amazing.
Yeah, we just need to build places where they can come and have that opportunity. And that's the hard thing I've been finding, especially through my daughter's eyes, is just, you know, finding programs that she can participate in. I remember trying to like sign her up for a gymnastics class here in town, and she was, you know, the same age as the other peers in her group, but her developmental delay was just much more significant, that I felt like we were stared at most of the time, instead of like we didn't have that support around us just to get her, to help her to learn a new trick or learning a skill. And still people were so fixated on her disability instead, that I was just like, this is gotta stop. So we gotta do something about this and find more opportunities for people with disabilities to participate in athletics at a younger age.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. So you're taking on all of this, and then I've read many times that ultra running is probably the sport that requires the most amount of time and dedication. So how did you make the decision to add on ultra running into this whole repertoire of just incredible things that you're taking on?
So, you know that saying where people say, some people think with their feet, not with their head? That's probably me. I tend to just jump into things with 2 feet first and just figure it out later. And it drives my husband absolutely crazy, but he's fortunately an incredibly patient man to ride along with my crazy. But honestly, I actually think that COVID helped me out a little bit this time around, because I'm working from home now, and my treadmill is 5 feet from where I sit to do my work. So I can hop on it, go run for like an hour, and then come sit back down and not worrying about smelling, because I'm not sitting around my colleagues at work. But honestly, like also just trying to squeeze in a few shorter runs more frequently during the day, or like on the weekends, I would do those. I don't know if you guys saw those challenges where you run like a 10K every 4 hours for like 48 hours. And I kind of felt like those types of runs also helped me get the time in, but yet also have time in between to do like chores or schoolwork or, you know, whatever else needs to get done that I'm working on at that time. It's just a matter of just, you know, figuring it out, I guess, just being fluid and trying to figure out how to get it all in. It's definitely constant organization.
And something that stood out to me is that you do a lot of your training on the treadmill, which yes. is obviously effective for time. But I personally am not a great treadmill runner. Alyssa is phenomenal. She's done tons of marathons on them. And, you know, has that mental discipline. But selfishly, can I ask you some tips for treadmill running and what, I guess, how you stay motivated with that and how you get that consistency there?
So for me, a treadmill is almost my only option on most days, because 4 kids, I can't like drop everything and go somewhere sometimes with them because my husband's not here. And so leaving my younger one at home alone with my oldest one isn't always something I'm comfortable with doing. So I just realized if I want to do this goal, I have to jump on a treadmill. So, you know, things that help me with treadmill running are just, you know, make sure you have a good treadmill, one that's comfortable to run on. Understanding some of those can be pricier, but mine was not as. And then get a good TV and some good subscriptions to Netflix and Hulu and find a good show and start watching it while you run. I mean, that's what I do. And I get most of my TV watching done when I'm running on a treadmill, because the rest of the time I don't usually have to sit down and watch TV.
That is my number one tip when people ask me, like, a really good subscription to Netflix. I don't know if you had this happen, but I felt that COVID brought out some of the worst, best television that you would only watch if you were running on a treadmill during COVID.
Yes, exactly. And also some really crazy YouTube videos. I was watching some like crazy ultra running YouTube videos there for a while. And some of them are just like, you know, really self-made, but like some are so self-made, they're so raw that I was like, I really kind of like this, you know? Found lots of really good discoveries.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's I actually really understand what you're saying about how if the treadmill becomes your only option of getting to run or not getting to run, I think that it really flips the perspective of how you feel about the treadmill.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there was actually a similar post, I think, in the same forum, the Trail of Ultra Running for Ladies, where people were asking, have you ever run a marathon or a treadmill or something like that? And like, I was looking through the responses and I feel like most of the people that said yes in the long distances they've done on a treadmill were mostly females. I don't know. I don't know if that's statistically true, but I just kind of found that funny. I was like, so females have more tolerance for running longer on a treadmill? I don't know. But I just found it interesting. It was a ladies forum though. So
That's a great observation, because I actually weighed in on that post as well, being like, oh yeah, well, you know, it's not that bad if you just go into it with a certain perspective. And again, when I think that at the end of the day, we all love running. And like, for me, the reason why is because we were in lockdown in Italy and you actually could not walk or run outside. So it was like,
oh my gosh,
either I don't get to move my body in the way that I like to, or, you know, I get on the treadmill. And I was really thankful for the treadmill, yeah, rather than dreading it. But
I remember go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, we have a rainy season here in Hawaii, and it's most of the winter. So you guys are motivating me. I've been like very casually treadmill shopping, but maybe I'll just like go ahead and commit and like click yes on the buy. I've had like several in different purchases. Like, I've been thinking about it. I've called friends that have them and discussed the models, but maybe I'll just go ahead and commit to it, because I know with a newborn that could be a really clutch opportunity.
Yeah, I haven't found a great rain cover for jogging strollers, so maybe a treadmill might be in your future.
This is awesome. So,
big fan of sanity, so yes, hopefully.
So along with the treadmill talk, how do you manage your time to run with a family?
So we do a lot of really early morning runs, like before they get up, or I've even done runs as late as like 10 o'clock at night, just when we're getting home from the craziness of the day. I can't always say my running times are consistent as to when I go running each day. It's just a matter of, I know how much mileage I want to do on a certain day, and I just have to find a place to get it done. So it's really just, you know, going back to that notion of just being fluid. And you know, I don't want my kids' schedules to necessarily suffer because of my training, but yet I also still want to be able to meet my own goals and, you know, show them that it's doable. You know, there's this one quote, kind of cheesy, but it's by Walt Disney, and I grew up on Disney because my parents were obsessed with them, but it's a quote that I kind of like to say to my kids, and it's always like, you know, it's kind of fun to do the impossible. And so when people tell me, like, how do you do this? How do you do all that? And I'm just like, well, it's just kind of fun to do the impossible, because you just figure it out and you keep people guessing, you know, and until you do it, then you don't realize how much it is possible to do the things that I'm doing. Hard to explain.
No, I love that.
I love that. What did the breakdown of your training for your 100 look like? I know that was this past weekend, so I'd love to hear kind of what that looked like for you, and any challenges that you faced specifically in the training side of things beforehand.
So I did not follow a training plan. I've had a couple of friends that have run a lot of hundreds before. And so I talked to them and I just said, you know, what's the kind of principle that makes you feel good about feeling like you're going to be ready for a 100 miler? And a lot of them were things like, oh, run at least a 50K on a back-to-back weekend with like a 20 miler in front of it or something. So a lot of recommendations on long back-to-back runs. I did not necessarily do that. But what I did focus on was just building up my mileage, my monthly mileage for a total. And so one of the things that worked out for me was, since October is Down Syndrome Awareness Month, I made a goal that I wanted to run 321 miles in October, because Down Syndrome is three copies of the 21st chromosome. So 321 miles would represent that. And so in order to get to that without injuring myself, I had to start planning back in like June as to what my mileage was going to be for every month. And so I just built my mileage up from there so I could get to the 321 in October. Rest before my 100 miler. I didn't
stop. You couldn't come up with that.
I couldn't come up with a word. What do you call it? I don't even know what that means. So I didn't really rest, because like the weekend before I ran my 100 miler, I still ran 30 miles that weekend. So I was just, you know, we're just going to go out and do it and see what I can do. And my only goal was to finish. I didn't have a time goal. It was my first 100. So I was just like, I just want to finish. So That's what I was going on. Now, my next 100 I want to do, I definitely have a time goal now that I know what I'm up against, but that's going to be a different kind of training.
Yeah, I have coached a lot of people, and I've done, you know, a fair amount of hundreds, and I would say I've both tried the back-to-back, like, long-run weekend things, and I've had people do it, and I don't feel that the payoff is worth the trauma to the body. So I think, and you might have actually, like, skipped something that probably was really beneficial. So
yeah.
I think, or I mean, like, skipping it would be beneficial. It's something I really don't advocate for in training for a 100-miler. And I think looking at it from, like, a monthly or weekly mileage goal versus, like, oh, I have to run this on a Tuesday and I have to run this on a Wednesday is so much healthier. Like, this week specifically, I just felt really run down the first, like, 4 days. So I think I ran, like, 7 miles. But then the last, you know, 3 days, I've run 10 miles every day. And it's like, well, my mileage for the week is still going to be around 40. And it doesn't matter what it looked like or how it felt, because when I felt good, I ran. And when I didn't, I didn't. And I think that approach is so much healthier.
Yeah, like, listening to your body was so important for me, because I mean, like you were saying, I definitely had days where I was just like, I was not feeling it. I was like, I'm lucky if I can run 2 miles today. But I mean, I think sticking to, like, the shorter double digit runs across more days also helped me. So there's this gentleman, I forget his name, but he swears by this 10 by 10 philosophy where you run 10 miles 10 consecutive days. And so I did, like, 2 rounds of that across a couple of different months where I've just run 10 miles every day for 10 days straight. And it's been, he says it helped him with his 100 milers. And for me, someone who's super busy as a mom, I can't always get those crazy long runs in. I see friends running 30 miles or, you know, marathons for their 100 mile ultra training schedules. But I feel like those kinds of things help me. And then the 48 run every 4 hour kind of things also help me, because I'm still getting the mileage in. It's just, I'm teaching my body to run on tired legs, I think. And so I think that had some part in also helping me to get through this 100 miler.
Yeah, I think Alyssa and I could probably record 20 podcasts on nothing but specific to 100 mile training. But I'm so with you. I don't think there's any benefit to a run over 20 or 25 miles unless it's just a mental confidence booster that you can get the distance. I think when people tell me, I want to run 50 miles in preparation for this race, I'm like, okay, you're going to set your body back 3 weeks with trauma, but sure, if that's what you're really set on doing. So I'm so with you. I'm also a pretty big advocate of strength training. Is that something that had a place in training for you?
I'm a horrible strength trainer. Like, I have weights. I've got free weights. I was just talking to my friend in Washington about this today, and she was like, well, did you weight train while you were running? And I was like, no, but I should have been. So I think the most I did was daily sit-ups and push-ups. That's it.
I like that. That's more than a lot of runners do. And with a high mileage, it, you know, maybe it was better that you didn't, because you never know when one little thing can be too much. But
yeah, I mean, I think my legs definitely felt it in this one by not doing the weight training, because I could just feel the lactate in my legs. Were like, my head and my heart, my cardio could definitely have run more, but my legs were like, I don't think so. So we're like, wait, you want me to do what?
No, that makes a lot of sense. So was this your first ultra, this 100 miler?
It was my third ultra, fourth ultra. I don't know. I remember. I've done 250 milers and I've done 250K. So it was my fifth ultra. Sorry, I'll get that.
Okay.
It was my fifth ultra. So.
Gotcha. And when you decided to get into ultra running, was kind of the ultimate goal to do a 100 miler, or how did this idea come to be?
I actually never wanted to run 100 miles. It was never, like, super high on my radar. My actual current goal, and it's still ongoing, was to run 50 marathons by the time I turned 50, which, you know, for a lot of marathoners that are, like, veterans out there, that's like, nothing. I've read stories about people that have run, like, 500 marathons already, and I'm like, yeah, okay. But my personal goal was to run 50 marathons before I turned 50. So when COVID happened, I was like, well, crap, what am I going to do? So I was fortunate to run the LA Marathon in March. And that was the last major marathon that I think the world has seen since COVID happened. So I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And so my 40th birthday was coming up, and I saw that this race happened to be on my birthday. So I looked at my husband and I said, how many times can someone start when they're 39 years old and finish when they're 40? Like basically age during a race, which is what you probably feel like when you're doing 100 miles.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I feel like you age about 40 years in 100 milers, so it's really accurate.
I signed up for it. Yeah, and so I just said, all right, let's do it. So I signed up for, I actually signed up for Tunnel Hill, but then Tunnel Hill was having some COVID shifting they had to do. So I went ahead and deferred that race. And then I saw Rim to River was still open, and it was also their inaugural year and the first 100 miler to be held in West Virginia as well. And so I was like, all right, what can go wrong? So I just signed up for the one in West Virginia, and it turned out to be the best weekend of my life. It was just, I loved it so much. I was like, can't go wrong. I love national parks. It runs you right through the New River Gorge of West Virginia. Beautiful, beautiful scenery. And then I got to finish it on my 40th birthday. So, and you know, it was just beautiful. And the weather was awesome that weekend. It was like low 70s during the day. So it got a tad bit warm. And then at night it was like upper 40s. We didn't freeze at all. So it was just, couldn't have asked for a better weekend.
Did you have any like crazy lows or anything that surprised you since it was your longest distance that you've done?
I don't think I did. I mean, I met some amazing people on the trail, and I think I just had it in my head that I did not want to get a DNF to finish. So for me, it was just keep going, keep going, keep going. And I did have a little bit of a scary moment when I got to the 26 mile mark and I saw how fast I was going. I was like, oh crap, I better slow down. I was like at 5 hours and 15 minutes. Like, yeah, it's too fast. So I intentionally slowed down at that point and started walking more and, you know, taking things easier. And I ended up meeting some like great people on the trail. A lot of people, this was their first 100 mile race as well. And one of the comments that I got from a bunch of, well, guys, because it was mostly guys on the trail out there, was just the power walking. And so I had to think back of like, the power walking is a cool thing to do. And I have a nice fast walk. It's like a 13 minute walk. And so I think that's what helped me get through those last 50 miles where I was just like, just gotta get done. Just gotta get done.
No, that's honestly power walking. We could write a whole book about the power of power walking.
It's my passion. It's what I do. So
this man is about 5 inches taller than me, and he yells at me for walking faster than him. And I'm like, I just walk fast. So, you know, I don't know.
I do joke that my walk is that of an angry soccer mom. So maybe I just have been like living my future out early.
It's so funny you said that, because like the guys on the trail, they were like, God, you walk so fast. I'm like, no, this is my mom walk. This is get your butt in the car. We got to go. Keep walking, kids.
If you had put your shoes on in the first place, we could have already been there.
Exactly. I got to get another kid somewhere else. Let's go.
Oh, I love that. So how did you fuel for this? I mean, that's a long ways, and fueling, we know, can be, I think, our biggest challenge or most people's biggest challenge.
How did I feel about it? Like, or answer it?
Like, what was your strategy? And then how did you execute what you were planning?
I think like life, I didn't really have a strategy. My only strategy was to finish. And in talking to some people on the trail, they said sometimes that's the best strategy to have is none. Because then you don't kind of set yourself up for disappointment, as they told me. One guy was telling me that he had a strategy in one of his races, and then he dropped it like mile 82 or something because he just had in his head that he wouldn't finish when he actually had plenty of time, because he wasn't making his personal goal. And so at that time in the race, your mind's playing all sorts of games on you. And so his mind tricked him into thinking he wasn't going to finish. So my strategy in this one was I just made sure I had backup of everything in the drop bags that we were allowed to use, which was 3 drop bags, which I think is very generous. I had backup food, backup batteries, flashlights, everything you needed just to be prepared so that if I ran into something, I had something to get through. And then my only strategy was just, you know, I'm going to try to run as much during daylight because there wasn't much daylight being in the Midwest. And the time savings that had just happened, there were like 9-10 hours of daylight. And then my goal was to just walk as fast as I could at night and run when I could, and then just get to that finish line.
Awesome. What were some of the things you leaned on to eat?
Gosh, I love these things. I eat very non-conventional food. I love these things that are called applets and cotlets. They're from the Northwest area. I'm from Washington State, and my mom sends them to me every year, but they're basically just like fruit and nut components. They're kind of jelly based. And so I trained with them just to make sure I could use them. And so they're something that you can chew if you can chew. And if you can't chew, they can dissolve very nicely in your mouth, but they have a lot of calorie and fat and protein in them. And then I also leaned a lot on the aid stations for like veggie broth because I'm a vegetarian. And when I could, I would definitely dive into those nice, delicious warm pancakes at 2 a.m. that they were making because those were just the best. They had like fresh blueberries in them. They were so good. And then, of course, lots of electrolytes. So I like to use Noon. And I'm so glad that Noon finally came out with a non-effervescent style mix so that my hydration bladder didn't blow up. Those are kinds of things that I just really leaned on. I tried to do peanut butter, but I gag. I can't do it. I brought some with me. I tried it. It failed. I moved on.
I love peanut butter in real life. Like, cannot explain how much peanut butter I consume, but during a race, it like feels like your mouth is just full of, like, you just can't swallow it or anything.
I can't swallow. Like, some very nice gentleman at an aid station, he's like, here, just take a peanut butter sandwich, because like, there were definitely some aid stations where I felt like I could eat, and there were definitely some aid stations where, like, everything I looked like, I felt like I was in my early months of pregnancy again. I was like, nope, just get it away from me. I do not want to look at food right now. But it was just, it was very nice of him to try to get that to me. So I took it, and I did the whole, like, take a bite, swish it with water, try to swallow it, and I only got through half of it, and I was like, nope, done.
Yeah, I was just going to say my partner usually eats a little bit on the lower carb side. And we have this ongoing joke because every time he does like just a 50K to 50 mile run, he thinks he's only going to fuel with peanut butter or like nuts or, you know, and he's like, oh, well, I'm going to go low effort. I don't think I want to take a bunch of carbs. And so maybe he'll have like, we both like Carbo Pro as a backup. But every single time he ends up trying to eat peanut butter and he gets like 20 miles in, he's like, oh, this is terrible. And I'm like, I don't know how he does it, because to me it just tastes like glue in your mouth. So
yeah.
I can totally relate. I don't know how he even gets to 20 miles with nothing but peanut butter, but it's impressive.
Kudos to him.
I noticed on your Facebook that not only are you vegetarian, but that's something you try to incorporate with your kids. Are your kids vegetarian, or you just try to drag them into eating vegetarian-ish foods?
My kids are not vegetarian, and I don't make them be. It's their choice what they want to do. But I do like to introduce like different types of foods, and they have to at least eat it once. Much of their palate has expanded because of it, which is great. But sometimes they just look at me and they're like, really, mom, you're making me eat this. And today they had jackfruit. So they've had jackfruit before, but we usually buy it in a can just because it's easier. But I actually found a fresh one at the grocery store the other day. And so I bought it and I just peeled it down and I turned it into some pulled pork barbecue vegetarian style, and that's what they had for dinner tonight, and they gobbled it up, so there it went.
That's hilarious. I actually had commented, you probably didn't see it, but I had commented on your Facebook. I was like, oh, go barbecue, because I saw the jackfruit and I was like, that's my favorite way to eat jackfruit. So I wish I was at your house for dinner, and now I'm just disappointed with my life.
Yeah, it was so good. And there's like a local taco place here in Cincinnati that like makes tacos with them too. And I was really happy to see them move into town and have jackfruit tacos. But, yeah. Welcome to you someday.
That's so good.
I know.
So clearly, I mean, being a mother is one of your many identities. What top tips would you give to other ultra runners, not ultra runners, maybe marathoners or half marathoners or 5K? How would you direct people or help them to know that running can be a part of their life while being a mom?
Yeah, so running can be a part of your life. It's definitely a doable thing. You don't have to go run 100 miles, that's for sure. But just, you know, taking small steps at first, like starting really, really small is the one thing I would recommend. I've got a dear friend who's doing her first couch to 5K, and she's like, I get so tired at like 10 minutes. I'm like, good, that's 10 minutes more than you did yesterday, you know? And so just give yourself that time to carve out that space for your own growth and development to happen. You're not going to be a 100-mile runner overnight, you know? It'll take you a while to build up to being able to run 20, 30, 40 minutes. And then even when you get to those levels, you're going to have setbacks. You're going to have days where you're just like, I just need a day off, and that's okay. Give yourself that grace. But the second biggest piece of advice I always like to give people is just don't ever compare yourself to another person. This is your journey. It's your pace. That's the beautiful thing about running. The one thing I absolutely love about the running community is that all paces, all abilities, we all support each other. And I see it every race, every outing. I see it when I'm running on the trails here, when I do get out. I'm just excited to see other people running. Like, I don't care what your pace is or what you look like or anything like that. It's just the fact that you're doing it. And I know that you're doing it to make yourself better as a person, which means you're making yourself better as a person. You're helping to improve the lives of someone around you, if you realize it or not. Just small steps and don't compare yourself.
And something that I noticed that you had looked at the percentage of men to women in your race that you just completed. And I think you were surprised, but I think it was actually a pretty heavier than normal female turnout. So I think you were surprised at what a low percentage of women you thought were in the race. And I was pleasantly surprised that there were that many women in the race. But that said, what were those percentages? And what would you say we could do as women in the sport to try to bring more women into the sport?
Yeah, so this race, I think, had 28 females finish. This is just the finishing numbers. I don't know how many started. And then 113 males finished. So that is just a little over 20%. And so just seeing that really surprised me, because I was just sad. I was just like, I'm a female, I'm a mom of four kids, I'm doing this. Dang it, why aren't more people doing it? Not that I'm a rock star, I might just think with my feet and less with my head, but that's okay. But just more people can be doing this. And I would love to see more people out there running, especially women, because it's just good self-care for us. And it's a place where we can support each other, and it helps us be better people for our kids and for our husbands and for our jobs, or, you know, whatever it is we want to do. So I run personally because I have anxiety and I don't want to take medication. So for me, it's a good thing in regards to my own mental health and my own stability for my family. Just, you know, we all have our own struggles and we just need to be there to support each other. And that's what women should do. We should be lifting each other up, not pushing each other down.
Absolutely. I love that attitude. I want to hug you now. Is that can we do a 5,000-mile long distance hug? I love that attitude.
When I come to Hawaii again, sir.
Okay, yes.
I think that was so present in when you put, like, oh gosh, I just love the Trail and Ultra Ladies, because, like, you posted and I was so inspired, I wanted to talk to you. And then I think you had, what, like 900 plus likes on that post? Yeah. Like, I just love that about this community. And I think we can continue to grow that support. And I think that that's why trail running is so special in so many ways, is that it's all of us against this silly and enormous challenge that we've put forth. And I think if more women can feel the empowerment of accomplishing those goals, then I think running can change the world. But I really do think it can give women the courage to go out and tackle even larger things just outside of running.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, some of the comments on that post, I mean, number one, I was shocked to get so much response. Number two, the comments I saw on there were just like, inspiring, you're amazing, this is great, I wish I could do this, why can't, I mean, I'm like, but you can do this. And that's what I kept like responding to some people on there, is like, you can do this, like, if I can do this, you can do this. And the one thing about, you know, just going back to the community of running is, you know, it takes a lot of guts just to sign up for a race. And then it takes that certain level of determination, and then also the support of the people around you to help you train. I mean, we have to be real with ourselves for a minute. It's like, yes, we are the ones training, but we're also relying on the support of our families to get us to that point, right? And so by having them around you and lifting you up and developing that support, which we're talking about earlier, how women should support each other through this, just showing, and then you show up on race day and you finish, that's all that matters. There's only one first place finisher, but we all finish. And whether you're first place or last place, it really doesn't matter, because you finished. And that's all you're really training for, is to finish, as I am. So, and I think people just have to remember that, like, you know, running is a personal thing. It's your pace, your journey, your place. It's just like life. It's, you know, it's our thing. You just have to own it and just show up and just do it.
Absolutely. I'm with you. Yeah, I mean, the only one person can win, but it's about all of the collective experiences. And I don't think I've ever left an ultra without more friends from it. And I think that that's the part I love the most.
Yeah, and I've never met a first place finisher that looks at us and goes, ugh, you finished last. I've never experienced that in my life. They are usually there to support the people still coming in and finishing. Like, everybody is just great. Running shouldn't have awards. I just don't think it should have a word, because that's not what running is.
I'm with you. So on to a fun question after our philosophical talk, which I think that's such an important thing to share. If you could, you said you wanted to do 50 marathons. What are your top marathons? If you could go anywhere in the world, or, you know, didn't have qualifying standards or anything like that, what are your big bucket list ones?
Oh goodness. I haven't thought about this in a while. You're throwing me off right now. I've got a couple of big bucket marathons that I want to do. But they're not as big as what most people would think they are. So they're like in Idaho, like I want to run the Coeur d'Alene marathon. There's a couple in Montana. I want to run, it's the Big Sky Marathon, I think it's called. So they're all in the middle of nowhere, but they're all in these like really beautiful, idyllic settings. I'm not a person that is like, people always ask me, well, do you want to run Boston one day, or have you run Boston? And Boston's never been on my bucket list. I like to run marathons that are very scenic and beautiful, and just let me just enjoy what's around me. That's just kind of my pace for marathons, with the exception of the Flying Pig, which I do every single year. I just can't get away from that one. It's 10 minutes in my backyard, and the spectator support is like none other. So I've got, you know, about 22 more marathons to go before I hit my total, but I'll have to figure out a couple more bucket list items. I guess I do want to do that one in Athens, Greece, really bad. So
I've heard it's super hilly and hard, but you should definitely do it. you can run 100 miles, you can do a hilly marathon.
Yeah, I mean, Athens is definitely on my list for sure. I just did Berlin last fall, and that was really good too.
Oh, so super cool.
All right, I have a bit of a absurd but funny question. If you could only eat one thing for run nutrition forever, for the rest of your runs forever, it's starve or eat this, what would it be?
Everybody that knows me would automatically already know this answer, and the answer is gummy bears. I am a gummy bear snob, so just give me all the gummy bears.
What are the best gummy bears?
So I like the Albanese gummy bears, actually. The Haribo ones tend to be a little too hard, but the Albanese ones, which I think are made in Indiana, just north of me, actually, they're a little softer, and they actually taste a little better. So every time I go by their factory when we go to Chicago, I pick me up some of the Oops bags, and I load up on those.
Gummy bear connoisseur, if you will.
I guess. Yeah. There's a lot of good ones out there.
That's going to be the title of this podcast, The Gummy Bear Connoisseur. Well, Nicole, with how busy you are, I cannot tell you how much we appreciate you taking the time to chat with us. Where can people follow you and be as inspired as we were?
So I'm on Instagram, Mama Chromosome, as fitting as that title is. But you know, you might see a lot of pictures about random things. Not everything on my Instagram is about running. And then I'm also on Facebook. So those are usually my two current platforms. I had a blog for a while, but I gave it up because, you know, I got too busy.
Well, thank you again for joining us, and we will have to catch up again. Especially when you hit that 50 marathons.
Yeah, I hope we can get back on the road to doing marathons soon too.
Definitely.
I'm excited to keep watching your journey, and I just really appreciate you taking time out of your insanely busy schedule and giving me a little bit of insight on motherhood and running and making me more excited for that journey.
No, you're going to be awesome. This is great. And just, you know, don't let motherhood stop you. I hope this inspires someone else to put on some shoes and get out there. They can do this too.
I totally agree. So thank you so much, Nicole, for coming on, and we will catch up soon. Bye, everyone.